magnificent God that we serve today. Amen. How many are glad that we serve God today? Amen. 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 Steve, come here. Amen. Would your children like to go to children's church? Okay. Steve, they know Steve. Amen. Thank you, bud. Thank you, Krista. Amen. God's so good this morning. I am so excited about being here today. Amen. Look at that new table over there. Amen. That's a table from France. No, I mean Mexico. It's our Spanish tables. Amen. Which one's the other one? Amen. Over here? The yellow one. Beautiful. Look, take time today. These ladies, gentlemen, I guess, decorated these tables. They're what do you call them, mother? Festival tables. Christmas time's a big time at the Workman compound. And we celebrate Christmas not because of the presents, but because of His presence. Because He is Emmanuel, He's God with us. And we are so grateful. We're a house of miracles. Everywhere you turn, whether it's the children or adults, you can always see the miracle of God working in the Workman plan. God's done so much for us. We're so grateful, so thankful. Glad to have Johnny with us today. Amen. Amen. Love you, brother. You look good in green. Amen. Amen. Looking good. You know, I love you, Johnny Mac. I love you big time, bud. Glad you're with us today. Glad you're sharing this time with us. If this is your first time at Cornerstone, we just want you to sit back and we want you to hear and receive and don't feel pressured to do anything but to hear the voice of God. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. You guys going to preach with me? You can stay on the platform if you preach with me. If I turn around and you're not preaching with me, I'm going to drag you off the platform. Pull you down here. Amen. Everybody hear me? Amen. Sit up here as long as you're good. All right. Amen. It's good. I love God. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Peter today. We're going to shed this coat. Amen. I'm a mess. I got all kinds of notes, and you know God's speaking to me if I got a lot of notes. I know some preachers, man, they just got it all typed out. It's beautiful. Not me. All right. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 and 18. We've been talking a lot about the in-between. The in-betweens is the kairos of God. We've been talking about the chronos and the kairos of God. We understand that chronos is the sequential times that are marked out in our life. We know that we were born and we know that we're going to die. The Bible says that it's appointed unto man to die. Amen. Amen. And you know, I was sitting at a restaurant the other day and we were, and I think, I can't remember who I was sitting with. And I think it was it me and you, Mom? We were talking about death. And waitress came up and we were joking about something. And she says, oh, don't talk about death. And I thought, you know, the world really is afraid of death. You know, that's really what's going on in our world today. We're terrified that somebody is going to take away our world. Amen? See, we're so tied to this world, we're terrified that somebody is going to take it away from us. Somebody is going to take away. See, we talk about going to heaven. We talk about the fact of being able to go and be with Jesus. Come on now. Amen. Some of you talk about the rapture. Amen. Are we all here today? Amen. Am I just a lot more excited than everybody else? Is that what it is? I got that caffeine high and I'm up here. A couple of latte motos and I'm like, yeah. Are you hearing me? But how many knows that we hear a lot of people talking about going to? And so we hear that, but the truth of it is that we're terrified that somebody's going to take away what we have. See, our safe, secure worlds, our worlds that we have worked so hard to build. Our worlds that we have labored so hard to build, and the truth of it is that our time here on earth is so short, it's so compact. It's really not a whole lot of time here, 70, 80, 90 years. I saw a video today of a woman 101 years old. I thought, wow, amen. If I can walk and talk and have my own mind, you know, that's great. But I don't know if I want to stay here if I don't have my own mind. I don't think I'd be a nice person without my mind. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying? But we're terrified of death. We're terrified about the life to come. We're terrified about what it is. That's why some folks think, see, either what you do is that you're focusing so hard on doing it that you think that I'm going to carry out my religious acts to make sure that I'm secure in my life as a believer. Or what we do, and a lot of young people do this, they ignore the life to come. See, we don't want to talk about it. This was a young woman. She didn't want to talk about, you know, death because we're afraid of death, because we don't understand death. We don't want death because death seems like a terrifying act. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, death is a terrifying thing. I can tell you that right now, that if you don't know Jesus Christ, death is a terrifying thing. And to die without Jesus is a more than a tragedy. It is a total waste, because you don't have to die without Jesus today. I can tell you that. You don't have to. See? So death is a terrible thing to people who don't know Jesus Christ. Amen? Because we keep thinking in our mind that, you know, well, everybody talks about the end age. We talk about that part of it. But what distinguishes us? What makes us different? Well, what makes us different is this, is that the message I preach is not a message of death. It's a message of life. Why? Because death has been taken care of in me. How's that, Pastor? Well, because Jesus Christ lives and abides within me. See, He lives and He abides within me, and because His life abides within me, death has no power over me. The sting of death is not there. The grave has no victory over me, because I will be resurrected one day into a brand new body, see? But see, death has no sting over me. Why is that? Well, because the life of God lives within me, and at the moment of death, at that portal of death, what happens is this. Death, because I have Christ living in me, He literally comes and He saves me from the pain of death. Because those who don't know Jesus Christ at that moment of death knows what is waiting. Because at that portal, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you're standing at the portal of life and death, you're terrified because you know what's waiting for you. But see, if you're a believer, you know what is on the other side. Because as a believer, you step from this life into the next life, and there waiting for you is God's angels ready to carry you into the bosom of the Father at that moment. Death will not have a sting on your life if you're a born-again believer. Amen. Isn't that good news? We hear a lot of bad news, but that's good news. How many are glad that's good news? How many are glad you know the good news? How many are glad you're living according to the good news? Amen? Amen. Amen. Amen, Takia? Aren't you glad for the good news? Amen. Just watch one more time before I turn around. All right. 2 Peter. We again, I'm going to go back to Joseph here in just a minute. I'm going to talk about him for a little while, because God's really spoken to me about Chronos and Kairos. Understanding that Chronos is that sequential time. We understand that we've been born and that we die. That is that the life timeline. Born, birth, death. But it's the in-between moments. Time is marching on in our life. We understand that. Time is marching on our life. Amen? 12 to 1, 1 to 2, 24-hour period. Moments turn, seconds turn to minutes, minutes turn to hours, hours turn to days, days turn to weeks, weeks turn to months, months turn to years. So time, chronos, chronology, chronos is the time that we walk that life out on a constant basis. If you want it to look at it this way, Chronos is what I can see. Kairos is the invisible. Kairos is the work of grace that God is working in me, preparing me all the time. The problem is that I don't always see. I can see time working in me. I can see time working in me because I can look in the mirror and yeah, time's working. How many got up this morning and said, wow, time is working? Amen. How many quickly move from that mirror to someplace else? How many have removed mirrors from your houses? Come on, how many honest people do we have? You used to have a lot of mirrors. You only have one. It's a small one. Amen. In your bathroom. How many knows time's working? Time is working. The problem with Kairos is you can't mark it by the natural. You can't mark Kairos except because Kairos is working under the surface. Kairos is working in my life. I don't even realize it. What Kairos is doing, it's God's grace working in my life because in Kairos, in God's supernatural seasons that He has for my life, we can miss that season. We can be undiscerning towards that season and not realize that God is working in our life. And what we do is we look, because Joseph could have looked. Let me read the scripture, then let me share with you what God's given me, okay? So in 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things. What things? Well, the things that Peter's talking about is the things that are before us, the things of God, the working of God in our life. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. Everybody say steadfastness. And I just want you to look there. Fall from your steadfastness, because we're going to look at that in just a minute. But grow in grace. Everybody say grow in grace. Now, I just want to clarify here this morning is this. You are not more saved. You will not be saved more tomorrow than you are today. You won't be more redeemed by the end of the week or by the end of the service than where you came in here. The only way you can change that if you've not been redeemed is that you have to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, God hath raised Christ from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. That's the only way you can change eternity. You're marked. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're already marked. Your life is marked. It's not enough that you have an assurance by the natural. You must have an assurance internally in your faith system on the inside that God has done a work in your heart. You know. That's why that the Apostle John wrote to us and said this. He said, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not enough that I want to guess. There's a lot of things I guess about. Amen? Amen. When people ask us about our weight, we guess. We never tell them the exact amount. Amen? On your card, you know you all lied. Many of you lied on your driver's license. Amen? When they asked about it, some of us got away by just saying, well, I'm about. I'm around. Close to. In the vicinity of. Amen? There's a lot of things that we guess at. But the one thing I don't want to guess at is I don't want to guess at eternity. I don't want to guess at my salvation. I don't want to guess at my relationship with God. We've done too much of that. As God has been speaking to me this weekend, and I see so many people who are fearful and who are living in fear. And we're looking at all that is going on in our world, and we think this is how we're going to handle it. I want you to know I'm not a pacifist. Any fool who decides that he wants to break into my house will be the biggest mistake he ever made in his entire life. But outside that house, if he be a thief and a robber and a liar, I want you to know I will lead him to Christ. I will walk the walk with him, but he does not need to walk into my house in the middle of the night. How many can I say amen? There's a difference. There's a balance to life. Amen? How many hears what I'm saying? I don't want to guess about life. I don't want to guess about salvation. So that's not where we're talking about today. You are saved. If you have received Christ, you are saved today. But what are we talking about today? What is, I think, one of the major problems in the body of Christ? I think what the major problem is that we've heard a lot, but have retained very little. See, we've had the reign of God's word upon us as we've walked in services, but we've not dug very many ditches to retain what God has said to us or what God's done for us in our life. Because if you don't have a retaining wall, if you don't have something that you build out to retain God's word, then what happens is that what you get is a lot of runoff. And what you get with runoff is you get a lot of erosion. You get a lot of soil, and in erosion, you cannot build, you cannot plant, because even though you plant, what happens is this, is that the roots never go down deep because there's constant erosion. You have to have proper irrigation in your life to be able to grow. And in our life, we have got to be able to dig those things so that we can grow properly in God. We have to, man. We have to. But here the apostle says to us, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. There in verse 18, for the way to stand is what? Grow. If you want to stand, you got to grow. That's what he says right here. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, now and forever. Verse 18, look what he says here. The way to stand is to grow. The way to be steadfast is to progress, to go forward. The only way that you can continue to be steadfast in your faith is to progress on in your relationship with Jesus Christ in the knowledge of Him. That word knowledge here and progressing in the knowledge of Christ is not the knowledge, is it because I have memorized the Ten Commandments? Are you hearing me? I can memorize the Ten Commandments, but not follow any of them. I can memorize Scripture, but not walk in any of the Word. He's not talking about the knowledge of memorization here, even though memorization is great, and how many knows the older you get, memorization is not one of your priorities. Amen? Just remembering where you put your shoes the night before becomes a priority sometimes. That's why that older folks put their things in the same place every time. That's why my kids and my grandkids are always scurrying around when they're getting ready to leave. Amen. I know where my keys are. I know where my shoes are. I put them in the same place. I put my wallet in the same place. Are you hearing me? Are you listening to me? That's why I put things away. You say, well, Pastor, what does this have to do? It has to do to be able to grow in grace. It is the knowledge of knowing that to grow, that we need to do certain things to be able to function as a believer in this world. And God wants us to grow in grace. Amen? He wants us to grow in grace. Let me read some things that I wrote down here yesterday as I was studying. Grace grows like a tree at times. It springs upward, and other times the root grow downward. You don't always see it. Grace that's working in your life. I'm going to get to a point here. I'm going back to Joseph in just a minute, but stay with me here. So grace is not something that I always see. Grace is not something that is always evident to me. Because God can be doing something in my life and I don't see it right away. Because grace and kairos is not something that is seen. And so we many times don't realize that the things that have come into our life, when Joseph was looking at his brothers, when he was looking at Potiphar's wife, when he was looking at the butler and the baker, when he was looking at those circumstances and situations in his life, he didn't realize that those things that had come there had prepared him and was a part of it. He could have missed the season of God, became bitter about his circumstances, thinking that life was unfair, what had happened to him was unfair, what was going on in his life was unfair, and he could have missed the season of God. Many times as a believer, we look at life and we think life has dealt us a bad hand. Maybe it's not a bad hand that has been dealt you, but an opportunity for grace and for the kairos that God has created in your life. Amen? I want you to know that years, age, and learning and talent have nothing to do with grace. I said years, age, and learning and talent have nothing to do with grace. In fact, in Psalms 8 and 2, the psalmist declares that out of the mouth of babes, he establishes strength that it might what? Silence the enemy. God loves to use babes. He loves to use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. How many knows that? You can say amen. You know that true. That God picks people like us chooses people like us to confound the wise, because the wise says, how can they have that kind of knowledge? How can they walk in that kind of grace? How can they walk in that kind of presence? Why? Because God wants to put Himself upon you to astound the world. See, all the odd makers had their money on Saul, King Saul, because he was the man. He looked the part. He sounded the part. He was good looking. He was tall, head and shoulders above everyone else in Israel. So all the odd makers had their money on him. He's the man. He will succeed. But the problem is that all they could see was the outside of Saul. They couldn't see on the inside of Saul. So people hear many times what we do is we judge by the outward appearance. And we not only judge others, but we judge ourselves by that same outward appearance. Come on, I'm getting to something this morning. See, we need to realize that God may have manifested through you, and you were on that high mountain, but I want to say to you, and God may have used you at times in your life, at certain moments in your life, it was the grace of God. It was God's kairos that had manifested in your life, but you need to know that don't think of yourself higher than you ought. Amen? Because pygmies perched on the Alps are still pygmies. And where you stand doesn't determine your height or your grace. In the same context, I want you to understand the opposite of this. Is that, and don't determine grace because you live in a low and a dark place in your time right now. Just because your life is not a shining example. Even though your life right now is at a low place. Even though that you look at your life and you wonder, can it get any lower? Can I be in any lower place? And I want you to know today is this, is do not determine the grace of God and the favor of God because that you are walking in a low place. Whether you be in a high place or a low place does not determine the grace of God. What determines the grace of God is by the life and what you manifest out of that life. See, growing in grace, and I wrote this yesterday, growing in grace has more to do with your private devotions than your public exercises. Amen? So, I'm going back, and go back with me to Genesis chapter 37 here. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. Look here with me in this chapter. In verse 2, and these are the generations of Jacob, being 17 years and was feeding the flock with his brethren. Everybody say 17. Come on. Somebody say he's not even hardly old enough to shave. Amen. How many remember when you were 17? How many guys remember when you were 17? You felt like a man. You looked like a man. I've always been big. I can go, used to, on the streets, I could go into a bar and nobody would know the difference. Amen. I used to thought I was so hot, so big. But how many knows that my size did not determine my manhood? I was 17 years old. I was 17 years old in my thinking. I was 17 years old in my experience. I had only lived 17 years. Amen. I was thinking the other day, I've got pants in my closet that are 17 years old. I don't throw away anything. It's still good. I mean, here's what I'm saying to you. I've got things in my storage that are older than 17 years old. 17 years old is nothing but a collective. It is just shy of 16. Amen? Just 1 year past 16 years old. Are you listening to me? He was 17 years old. But I want you to know today is this, is that it doesn't determine. The grace of God works in our life. The problem is that God can speak to us and we can have a dream on the inside. Here is not the issue in our life. The issue in our life is that God has His hand upon Joseph's life. Joseph is a type of us. He's a type of the church in the world we live in. Because he lives in a world to where that everything is fine. Everything is copacetic. He lives in an ideal situation because his father has favored him and his father has said, "This is my favorite son." It's not enough that he is his favorite son, but he has made him an object of it by telling his other 11 brothers who are by other women, by other concubines. Joseph is the son of Rachel, his favored woman who he loved and adored. And here you find Joseph with nothing less than his own daddy favoring him above everything else, even to the point that his father gives him a coat of many colors to tell his brothers and the world, "This is my boy." But here's the issue. You can be called. You can be called. You can be favored. But it doesn't mean you're ready to walk out that calling. Doesn't mean that you're ready to fulfill that calling. See, you can have a dream. You can have a vision on the inside. We can be the man who inherits the millions. But every man has a tutor, and he has governors to raise him up in the ways of the Lord. I think it's interesting here that at 17, God gives Joseph a dream. And he gives him a dream of not only his brothers, but his father bowing down and worshiping him. I want you to know that at 17, Joseph was not able to discern the dream. He has the dream. He sees the dream. But yet he has not grown in the grace of God to be being able to interpret the dream correctly. Why? Because he's got a 17-year-old mind. I want you to know how I drive my car now, how I take care of my cars and my equipment now, versus when I was 17, is light years away. I didn't care who ate in my car. I didn't care who drank in my car. I didn't care what was in my car. It didn't matter. I had a car. I started it up. I put gas into it. It got me from point A to point B. I didn't really care. I used it to pick up girls. You know, it didn't make any difference to me. You know, that's just the way it was. I didn't realize what I had. I had a beautiful 1954 Ford that I dated Karen in. It was a fine automobile. But I never appreciated that car. I never appreciated it because of several circumstances I don't want to go into right now. But I look at when I was then, and I look at me now. I look at me standing out at the car wash, and the people washing my car. And I'm paying them to wash and clean my car. And here I am with a rag out there. I thought to myself, after I left the car wash, I'm standing there with this rag. And I am wiping the car. I paid them really good money. And I tipped them because I always appreciate their hard work. But it's never good. I see spots they don't see. I see things that they didn't get out. So here I am wiping and cleaning the car at 62 years old. I want you to know at 17, I wouldn't have made a difference. They washed my car, and back at 17, I probably wouldn't even tip them. There's a difference between that time that's there. What we don't realize is that when God gives us something, there is a time frame between that. What we want to do is we think that chronology and that our chronological age, and as the older we get, that we will learn. But I want you to know today is this, that gray hair does not determine that you are wise. Years do not determine that you have grown in grace or wisdom. We know that we have grown in grace and wisdom by the amount of love and compassion and mercy and our wisdom to be able to discern the plan and the purposes of God in our life. Here is Joseph at 17. He tells his brothers, he tells his father, "I had a dream. And I want you to know, in this dream, you bowed down to me. How many knows this is not a way to influence friends and to win your family? In fact, all it did was his father was upset at first, but then he pondered the dream. His brothers hated him for the dream that he had. Are you listening to me? But herein lies the whole point. They were trying. They hated him. They devised a plan at first to kill him. And his brother said, no, let's not kill him. And in the process, they sold him off into slavery. I think it's interesting as he gets there and he is sold into Potiphar's house. It's interesting here because I had never seen it before. But he no sooner gets to Egypt into Potiphar's house, and Potiphar sees the favor and the blessing of God on him. I want you to hear me. Here is an unbelieving heathen man who sees the favor of God on him. See, you can't hide the favor of God. You can't hide the anointing of God in your life. Either it is on you or it's not on you. But when it is on you, even the world will see. It took me years to understand that. It took me years to understand that when God's blessing and God's favor is upon your life, you can't hide that. And he puts him in charge. You know the story, Potiphar's wife, everything that Joseph touched, it was blessed, the house was prosperous. The Bible says that Potiphar didn't even think about anything. All he did was sit at the table and eat the bread that was before him. He didn't even know how much he had. He was blessed, he didn't care. He put him in charge of everything. Are you listening to me? But isn't it just like the enemy? Because here is God's appointed time. Here is God's appointed blessing for Joseph's life. He has called him. But in the midst of it, I want you to notice that in the kairos that God is developing something in Joseph's life. It is that divine appointment that God has for him. It is that divine time that God is trying to develop the will, the plan, the purpose of God in his life. And right at that time, what happens? Potiphar's wife comes along. Joseph has no interest in her. Well, his lack of interest just fuels her desires. See, we think that God's called us, that's all that's necessary. I'm talented, that's all that's necessary. I'm gifted, that's all that's necessary. I'm a Christian, I don't have to go any further than this. And I want you to understand today is this, there's got to be an investment on your part. I want you to understand that when God's hand is upon your life, when God has called you, when God has set you, I want you to know that your chronological age is going to take you through. But it's those kairos, it's those in-between moments that God is trying to mature. He's trying to develop your life. The blessing of God will be there. But be sure of this one thing. Potiphar's wife is right around the corner to disturb the plan and the purpose of God for your life. But it was Joseph, that Kairos moment. Potiphar's wife doesn't look like a Kairos moment. Amen? See all the stuff that's been happening to you. And all that cussing and fussing that you're doing. All that irritation. All those holes in the walls that you're having to repair. Your poor cat that's terrified of you because of your temper tantrums that you do all the time. The dog keeps running, you know, to another location under the couch because it knows you're about ready to have a fit. High anxiety all the time. Why, Pastor? Because God's trying to reveal, listen to me, God's trying to reveal and deal. See, God's trying to reveal, but it can only be revealed because let me tell you something. When you're purifying gold, it takes heat to bring the impurities. See, you got to have heat Come on, somebody help me today. I said you got to have heat. And in that heat, it brings out the impurities. That's why there's a difference between the standards of gold that some of us have. Some of us bought our watch at Walmart. I want you to know this watch was not bought at Walmart. The gold that is in this, the 24 karat gold, and I did not buy it. I wouldn't have bought it myself for 1,000 years. My babies all bought this and gave it to me on Father's Day. But I want you to know the gold in this watch is not the gold that you get at the local, swap meet, on 268 that Billy Bob, is telling you that it's not 24 karat. It may be shiny, but it's not 24 karat. Because there's a difference between gold-plated and 24 karat. I said there's a difference between gold-plated. Because it takes very little effort to gold plate anything to make it look good. But God is not wanting you just to look good. God wants to take the impurities. God wants to take those things that have drove you nuts most of your life. That has drove you into the ground. That has caused you to run. That has caused you to ruin the very blessings of God in your life. We are the worst sometimes. Therapists call it self-destructive syndrome. It is the moment that I begin to succeed, I do something to sabotage. But it's never our fault. It's always somebody, if they hadn't have been there, if that hadn't happened, if my boss could only see me, if my wife only understood me, if my kids weren't so rowdy, if I had more money, if I had a different house, if I had a better house, if I had a different location. North Carolina, don't work, let's move to Georgia. Don't work, let's move to California. Let's find a different location. I want you to know something. It's not about the location. Whether you be in the heart of Israel and God's birthplace for Joseph, or whether your brothers betray you and sell you into a foreign land. I want you to know the same God that said that you were called in Israel will make the same trip with you to Egypt. And there God will raise you up and He will cause you to be favored in the midst of your heathen, in the midst of your enemies. Why? Because God's grace is upon you and God wants you to grow. And you can't grow if you can't stand the heat. See, that's why some folks can't be corrected. Because it got real quiet in here. Super quiet. See, that's why. See, I want you to know something today. Somebody gave me a wise word the other day. Said, Pastor, most people that had problems with their parents and still resentful of their parents have problems with correction today. Can't be corrected. Can't be instructed. See, God was trying to correct something in Joseph's life. I said, God was trying to correct something in Joseph's life. What was He trying to do? He was trying to get him to grow into vision. See, God can give you a vision, but you have to learn how to grow into the vision. Amen? Amen. Come here, Tony. Come here, bud. Come here, Pastor. I know you don't like to eat up front, but that's okay. Oh, Tony. Amen. And we'll say that this coat is God's man. This here is. He's capable. God's put a vision just like God did with Joseph. He put that vision on the inside of him. Amen. Come over here so everybody can see that good looking face. And God put that vision on the inside of Joseph. But here is the problem. See, God was showing him, but Joseph didn't understand
the fullness of everything that God was shown to him. So when God showed him the vision, this is what it looked like. No matter what you do, it's still going to be too big. But his daddy said, this is your coat. This is what you're called to. This is the vision that's in you. So here, year after year, he runs in first to his brothers betraying him. But he's still carrying the vision. The vision hasn't left. You don't think that as he's traveling those hundreds of miles to Egypt, that in his heart, he's thinking, God, I know you spoke to me. I know you said this. But the problem is that through the years, through pain, disappointment, betrayal, divorce, problems with children, problems with churches, and problems with pastor, here I am trying to walk around in this vision. Amen? This is not God's ultimate. But now, we fast forward 20 years. 20 years. Stay there, Tony. 20 years. Before, the vision got in his way all the time. It was too big. He couldn't operate. The vision looked out of place. He looked uncomfortable. Spoke out of turn. But see, 20 years later, the vision fit. He had grown in the grace of God. And when he stood and his father and his brother stood before him, there in Genesis 41, the Bible says this. Here's what it says. It says, he remembered the dream. He could have looked at his brothers and his father and he could have said, you know what? You did this. Now it's payback. How do we know that he grew in grace? How do we know that he now understood the vision? Because the Bible said he looked at his brothers and he said to them, you meant it for my evil. But God turned it to the good. First is there. We want God to do it now. God says, no. See, you're looking at all the circumstances in your life right now. Why has God led you to this place in your life? See, if you're not careful, you'll misjudge this as bad timing, bad luck. Are you hearing me? This is bad timing. This is bad luck. But God says, no, this isn't bad timing. This isn't bad luck. It's just you growing in grace. See, listen to me. God never took the mantle from Joseph. Are you listening to me, Joe? He literally, brother, listen. He goes to Potiphar's house. He's no sooner in the door. And Potiphar does what? I see the vision. He goes to jail as an innocent man. He no sooner gets in the jail and the jailer says, I see the vision. Unbelievers! It took me going to unbelievers for them to see the calling in my life. Folks, I want you to know something. I want you to know today, our young people, the people of this house, doesn't need to go to a secular world or to a jail or to a prison to find the will of God. The day must change to where that we say as a church and as a people that when young people, when people come into this house, they will be able to know how to fit in to what God has called them to be. And at first, it's not going to feel very comfortable. It feels awkward. But the day will come to where? Amen? The day will come. Help me, Tony. I helped you. I helped Pastor. Where's it at, Tony? The day will come to where? It won't look awkward. It won't look like it's out of place. But how is that going to happen? If all we are is people of Kronos instead of people who put more value on God's Kairos. Amen? I question, what lies in the bosom of this young man? What depth, what dreams, what gifts, what talents lies within his life? What lies in Matthew's life and Sydney's life and Aaron's life? What lies in these young people, Marlisha? People who will say, you're not worth it. Because, see, that's what that community center is all about. There has to come a point where we quit thinking about ourselves. We've got to decide, no more free lunches. No more coming in and skating. Some of you think, thank you, Tony. Some of you think you've already paid your dues. No. See, the truth is, all God's been doing is preparing you for something greater. Your problem is you think you've already experienced greater. And I'm telling you, you haven't experienced greater yet. Because you're still walking around feeling awkward and out of place. And there's got to come that moment to where you're confident. God's called you here. God's called you in this moment. In this Kairos season that we're in. We're coming into Thanksgiving. And I want to end it with this message today. Why? Because December is going to be a month of where that you're not going to give a whole lot of thought to anything but buying and shopping and cooking. It's cool. I'm good with that. Amen. I love it. I enjoy it. Nothing I like better. Buying for my kids. Being Pastor Karen, go through the same game every year. Amen? Do we want to buy him anything? Or do we just get him a bag of oranges this year? I vote aren't, no. We give not because to give presents. We give because it's the nature of our Father. See, I never struggle about giving to my kids. Some people resent it. I don't resent it. Why is it? Well, because it's their inheritance. God gives me the ability to dole out that inheritance properly to them. And believe me, I know how to say no. See, and God knows you have an inheritance. And in 2016 that's coming upon us right now, you have some time between now and the end of the year to think about your life. Is 2016 going to be just another year that all you think about is I'm marking time. Time is marking me. Or are you going to say, 2016 is the year to where the vision is going to start fitting in my life. Amen. We have a lot of chairs that we have to fill up in this place with unbelievers and hungry people from different denominations. It's not enough that we're happy that we have a seat here. I want you to look around and say to yourself, who has God called me to bring, to participate, to win in 2016? Amen? This is our moment. This is our time. It's time to grow, not in number, but in grace. We can grow in number, but not in grace, and we can be just another shallow church. But to be a shallow church, you'd have to have a shallow pastor. Sorry. Amen? It's too late for me to change. Amen. I only have two gears in this engine, forward or backwards. And the backward gear is broke. Amen. So I don't have reverse in this thing. My kids will tell you that. There is no reverse in me. When I start something, I love to finish it. And we're going to finish this. How many is with me? We're going to finish this in 2016. Amen. We're going to finish this in 2016. Amen. We're not on our timetable. We're on God's timetable. We're on Kairos time. Amen. We're on Kairos time. God's divine season. And in between this moment, between my birth and my death. See, Matthew, it's not going to be, you know, everybody wants to say nice things to us when we're laying in that casket. You know what? I want people walking by and I want them to say, man, he sure irritated me sometimes. I want people to walk by and say, man, he was pushing. But I'm glad he did. I want people to walk by and say, it was because of him that I understood what grace was. He won me to Jesus Christ. He led me into a deeper walk. He introduced the Holy Spirit to me. Are you hearing me? Or are they just going to put on your epitaph that he was a good man? Don't let nobody come by my casket and say, well, he was a good man. See, what's wrong with that, Pastor? Because I'm more than a good man. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's exciting living with me, isn't it? I love you all. I appreciate you listening to me today. Wasn't planning on doing something big. I just want to plant a seed in you. Right now, right before Thanksgiving, I want to plant this seed in you. I want to plant this seed in you as this. When you stop and ask yourself, as you sit at this table, how many chips are in front of you? And how many chips have you pushed into the center? Are you all in to what we're doing here? Or are you still kind of holding back? Amen? Got a few of those $20 pieces stuck in your vest or your pocket because you just don't quite sure if you want to go all the way in. It's okay. I got patience. I got God's grace. I'll wait on you. I love you just like he does. Amen? Amen. Well, how many are glad you came to the house of the Lord?